today on Real Radio.
Why is the world saying, can't have Bibles over here? You can't do that to the Gideons here in the church. The world is saying, you cannot hand out Bibles anymore in public property. We're going to somehow stop you. Pushback, pushback. You guys, wake up. Get excited. Pushback means that the gospel's advancing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In our biblical worldview and the church, Pastor Jack describes the church as a living, spiritual body and not the building or the structure in which we gather. It's made up of individuals who have come to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that His Holy Spirit resides in us to be His hands and feet in this world until He returns. Today, Pastor Jack begins by asking, where is the church's place in the world? In these amazing times when the world has once again become almost totally intolerant towards Christ and His Word, we must not think for a moment that the gospel is not advancing. The good news is, persecuted Christians continue to share their faith right here in the U.S. and among all nations. Now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Well, church, tonight, let's grab our Bibles, if you would. And as you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17, those of you who just said yes to Jesus Christ, by the end of the message tonight, we're going to want you to just... At the close, before you leave the building, grab a Bible. Grab a Bible that's up here and take it with you. But as we look tonight, as we continue in our series, in the Worldview Series, we're looking tonight at the biblical worldview and part three and the final part of the church. What it is to be in the church, of the church. What is, who is the church? Acts chapter 17. You guys know the routine by now. Paul is speaking to the believers in Greece, in Athens, and in Acts chapter 17, I should say they're believers, but they're believers in other gods. They were very religious, but he's leading them to meet the one true God. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Paul there says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. He is the God of all. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shapen or molded by art or man's devising. It's not man-made, nor is salvation nor God man-made. Verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to be or to repent, to change the mind. Why? Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man," notice that, "whom he's ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says Jesus in the end will be the judge. He will judge all of our decisions, and the ultimate decision is, what did we do with Jesus? But we're looking at the church and the doctrine of the church. And we've done that in our previous weeks, but tonight, part three. And we are just reminding you that the church is not the building. Remember, you were here last Wednesday night and the building shook, right? The building shook. And even if the building would have fallen down, the church would have remained. You see, what are you talking about? If the building fell down, the church would have been destroyed. No. If the building would have fallen down, we would have hadn't got trucks and stuff and skip loaders and cleaned it up. The church would have picked up the building. The building's not the church. You're the church. You are the ones. As believers, you are the one that the Holy Spirit dwells within, and it is from you, not a building. We only use this building, this complex, this campus, to advance the cause of Christ. We use rooms to do evangelism training. We use the sanctuary simply because it's an apparatus to put forth the Word of God. You're the church. You are a living, breathing organism, the body, the church. It's alive. The church is altogether spiritual. And as I said before, I want to make sure I say it again, these five things. It is important The church is made up of individuals who have come to believe that, number one, Jesus Christ is Lord. Number two, that He alone is our salvation. Number three, that we are individually indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Four, that we are God's purchased possession by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that five, we are His hands and feet in this world until He returns. That is a must. And that's kind of the direction of where we're going to tonight. Mark this down, if you would, to back up the claim that we are a living organism. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Peter 2, 4 says, coming to Him, many of you just did that a moment ago, and by the way, we do that when we worship, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, and precious. That's what God, isn't precious like a girl word? Huh? But you know, Peter used the word precious more than any other biblical writer. Peter's a man's man. Peter had a Harley, I'm sure, that he pulled. He had black, he probably had a black robe, leather. Peter was a guy. He had no gender confusion. Peter was a man's man. He had a fishing company. And he uses the word precious more than any other biblical writer. Look at this. He speaks concerning you tonight, that you're chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. You see that? A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's awesome. This is what we looked at last time in our biblical worldview and the church. Number one, we looked at this. What or who is the church? Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, He said, and I say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock, Peter's declaration that he is the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. Remember that. What or who is the church? Number one, we see is that Jesus Christ is the founder of this gathering of believers called the church. Three things we saw. That the church is a God-centered citizenship. It is a God-centered citizenship. We have, as Americans, we have passports, and it's got the eagle on the front of it. The U.S., you know, the symbol of America. And you open it up, and it's got data in there, and it's got electronic stuff in it, all of it to confirm and to legitimize to all authorities throughout the world, this guy's an American. And if you're Canadian, you got a Canadian passport. But if you're a Christian, you have a greater passport. You have the fact that the Holy Spirit resides in you. Have you ever lost your passport? Have you ever forgotten it? Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit in you is, in a sense, your passport into the kingdom of God forever. And you will not lose Him. He will not lose you. Our citizenship is God-centered. If you can belong to a nation of this world, you can belong to a nation, as it were, by faith in the kingdom of God. We saw, secondly, under this point, that the church is a God-ordained family, that we are a family and that we are to get along. Much of the Bible speaks about us coming together in unity, being a family, loving one another. Also, we saw that the church is God-centered or God-created in that of a relationship. So it's God-centered citizenship, God-ordained family, and God-created relationship or relationships. The family of God. I've never read this anywhere. I made it up. If it makes sense to you, great. Then God gave it to me way back when. But if blood is thicker than water, people say, then the Spirit is thicker than blood. Well, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do that. We're blood. Well, you know what's awesome about our relationship as a citizenship and as a family and as a relationship as believers? Spirit is thicker than blood. Look, many of us know what that's like. We are closer with one another than we are with our own blood family who do not know Jesus. You know what I mean? As Christians, it's pretty amazing. We also saw this, that God is, or the church is, I should say, a God-protected gathering. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Now, listen, I don't want to upset anybody. I just want you to think this through. The church Jesus started it. And I love my Mormon friends, but my Mormon friends tell me that all churches failed, that Jesus' mission failed, and there was a need for a Latter-day church to be started. Listen, I love you, and you're just a wonderful person. But Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail. Jesus never failed. Well, listen, just so I offend everybody tonight, I love my Jehovah Witness visitors tonight. But Jesus never fails. And I love my Roman Catholic friends who tell me, but yes, it's by Jesus and it's also by these things that you must do to inherit heaven. No, listen, Jesus never fails. And by the way, let me just continue on this role of absolute offense. If you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian, or if you're a Calvary Chapelite, if you're not born again, Jesus said you're not going to make it to heaven. Those decisions that you guys made a moment ago, Jesus calls that being born again. You're asking heaven now to be your home, for God to be your Savior. You're not going to save yourself. You can't be good enough. And none of those associations get you into heaven. Not a one. You're not going to go walk up into heaven and say, God, let me in. I'm an Assembly of God. I'm a Baptist. Been a Baptist 59 years. He's going to say, what is that? What is that? Those are man-made things. Nicodemus was the priest, the big religious man of Israel. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus? Nick, you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of God. And he said it to a man who's extremely righteous, but he was lost. Wow. The church is a God-protected gathering, and Jesus never fails. Point number two last time was this. What is the church to be doing? We looked at this. Number one, our mission is to proclaim the gospel. Number two, it was living faithfully for Jesus, committed to him. Thirdly, serving one another. Fourthly, worshiping God for, what did I say? For realsies. Right? Realsies, serious. Worshiping God all out. So here we go, our closing point tonight. Point number three is this. Where is the place? Where is the church's place in the world? Now this is going to be a hot button tonight. Where's the church's place in the world? You and I are living at a time that is pretty exciting. As we're witnessing things right now, and no doubt, many of those challenges will come to us in time. But regarding Christianity, this is an awesome time. And I'm not being over dramatic, and I'm not being overexcited regarding this. You and I are living in an awesome time regarding Christianity for one reason. The world right now is having to deal with Christianity on a global scale all at once. This has never happened before because of technology. The world is having to deal with Christianity, the preaching of the cross, the gospel, and changed lives like never before. Church, listen. Friends, listen. Why do you think the world is pushing back from anyone or any announcement regarding the gospel? Why is the world saying, you can't pray in Jesus' name? Why is the world saying, can't have Bibles over here? You can't do that to the Gideons here in the church. The world is saying, you cannot hand out Bibles anymore in public property. We're going to somehow stop you. What's going on? Pushback, pushback. You guys, wake up. Get excited. Pushback means that the gospel's advancing. This is good news. Why? Because everywhere you go, I don't know what kind of life you live or where you're hiding out. Maybe you don't know this. The gospel is advancing. Don't think for a moment because in a very real sense, Islam is experiencing a revival. They are experiencing a revival. But listen, here's the truth of the matter. The gospel is the only thing that saves people. The gospel is the only thing that can bring you good news. And the Holy Spirit uses the gospel to absolutely transform your life. Here's the great thing about those who raised your hands a moment ago to accept Christ. You don't have to do this thing. Now, listen to me. You don't have to present yourself to God now worthy. Look, I've stopped smoking, I've stopped drinking, I've stopped cussing, I've stopped sexing, and now accept me. Listen, you know what God does? God takes a person who does those things when they say, That's sin, God. I agree, it's sin. And you may tonight be so hooked on something, but you're saying, God, I know it's sin. Please forgive me and change my life. The Holy Spirit comes into your repentant heart and begins to scrub those things out of your life. He does that. How does he do it? I don't know how he does it. He certainly uses the Word of God, the Bible. Some things the Holy Spirit will take care of some of you tonight. Boom, tonight. Some stuff he's going to fix immediately. Some stuff, it's going to take him a few months or a few weeks. Some stuff, it's going to take a lifetime. But I know this, your life has changed tonight. Watch what happens. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens in a person's life, it shakes the world up. It gets families upset. I'm serious. You what? You went to church on a Wednesday night? What do you, are churches even open on Wednesdays? And you what? You had your sins forgiven? I told that to my dad when I was 19, 35 years ago. And my dad said, I said, Dad, my sins have been forgiven. Jesus died for me on the cross. He what? He was so upset. That's ridiculous. I told you I grew up in a non-Christian home. It's wild. It sounds crazy. Where's the church's place in the world? We're going to answer that question tonight. And I think it's pretty exciting. Now look, I get enough comments from people. It's very clear to them that this church or my life upsets them because you guys are very well known for taking your faith outside these walls. Let me tell you, okay? And if we're not going to do that, then look, I mean, let's go to an angel game tonight, or let's just shut off the lights and get out of here, because we're just not going to do church in here. Okay, we get fueled up, and then we go out there and do church. Okay, we live it out there. Why? Why do we do that? Because that's what the gospel, and that's what a changed life is all about. God doesn't save us to put us up on the mantle. Oh my goodness, look at them. They're saved. Aren't they spectacular? They're so shiny. He doesn't do that. He saves us and then sends us right out into that very world that he just rescued us from. Is that not the pattern of the gospel? Doesn't he save these guys like Peter and Paul, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and save them and then send them out into the world? That's what he does. It's absolutely spectacular. Why? This world is waiting to hear. They don't know it, but they're waiting to hear what God has to say, and God is going to use us. And what's awesome about this, I hope, study tonight is that it's going to act as a catalyst in your heart. Because at this time, when there's more persecution, according to technology, from what we can gather, there's more persecution taking place, or at least we are now globally aware of physical persecution coming against Christians in various forms, more now than any other time in human history. That is amazing. What I like about this is the reason being is because the church went viral long before technology invented that term. Oh, did that go viral? Did you see that YouTube clip? It's viral. What does that mean? It's everywhere. Hey, you know what? 2,000 years ago, the church went viral. Without the internet, mind you. And the young people have a hard time with that. It's like, what? What? God didn't have the web? How did he get anything done back then? The gospel went out to the world because the Holy Spirit is viral. The Holy Spirit is everywhere, and he changes lives. And isn't it amazing to think, right now, we're talking tonight, we've got the Bible, it's all about Jesus. We're here tonight in the 21st century talking about Jesus Christ, who never traveled more than 200 miles in 33 years. Jesus never traveled more than 200 miles in 33 years. He died on a cross in a little Roman-occupied country called Israel, the size of the state of New Jersey, and his name is the most famous name in all of the world. It is the most, that name is praised more than any other name on earth, and it's the same name that is cursed by people and cussing than any other name on earth. Isn't it amazing that tonight, without technology, so to speak, in the last 2,000 years, the church has enveloped the earth? The gospel, that is. And it's doing it now. Why? We're going to look at some reasons why tonight. Here's the deal. Where is the church to have its place? Number one, mark it down. Where the lost are. Where people are lost. You say, what do you mean lost? People who don't know Christ. I didn't know Jesus Christ 35 years ago. I heard the good news. It was a life raft. I'm telling you right now, when Greg Laurie gave that message, in my head, I could just see in my cartoon mind, Greg throwing out life preservers. And man, I've got to get under one of those donuts. I got to have that. What must I do to be saved? God wants you in heaven with him, but remember that bird I told you about with all that baggage tied onto him? He's got to cut that loose to get you into the kingdom. And the blood of Christ cuts that loose from your life. That stuff that pulls you back, that holds you down, Jesus cuts it loose. He steps from the outside into your world and cuts it loose. The lost, God goes after the lost. I love that. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, imagine, what's your last words before you leave, before you go back to heaven? Isn't it amazing? Jesus didn't say, you know, keep your eye on Apple. Apple computer is going to be a big, big bet in the future. Jesus says, go. Go, therefore, into all the world and preach this gospel. That was his message. That was the word, go. Isn't that amazing? And listen, historically, currently, look, we got people just coming back from China. We got people leaving for the East Coast. We got people leaving for Russia. Go. You say, well, I haven't gone anywhere. Ask God. Where am I to go? You got to, look, if you haven't gone anywhere yet, I guess God has said stay. Because he already said go, right? We should be praying to ask God if we're supposed to stay. Look, I had to go. I used to live near the ocean. I had to come all the way out here. Man, in the 80s, Lisa and I, we moved here in 86, woke up on a Sunday morning. Moved out here on a Saturday, woke up this far, never lived this far from the ocean in our lives, and I smelled cows. And let me tell you, I'm not kidding. God's my witness. I almost started crying. I couldn't smell salt water. I thought we had died and gone to hell. God made it clear we were supposed to go to a foreign, distant land far, far away. In Matthew 4:17, listen to this. In Matthew 4:17, the Bible says, for that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, metanoia, turn around, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's a weird invite, don't you think? That's pretty weird. They immediately left their nets and followed him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and the Church, Part 3. We thank you for listening to today's message and hope it will act as a catalyst in your heart to go where the lost are, and to share with them that there is hope and salvation found only in Jesus Christ. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.